Welcome to the Living Word Assemblies of God Toronto podcast. As the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Yes, it is the complete human experience. So relax and re-energize yourself with this powerful word.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you turn to your neighbor and look at his face? Tell your neighbor that you are created in the image of God. The way how God looks, that's how we look. Speak to your neighbor, that's how we look. Tell your neighbor that God believes in you. God is proud of you. He trusts you. I'm so honored to be your neighbor. And also you are honored to be my neighbor. Therefore, be a good neighbor. God bless you. Hallelujah. First of all, I want to give all the glory unto God who has given us life. Because life is more important than anything. Before you complain of not having food and this and this, appreciate him every morning because of life. Everything, we pay bills, but we pay nothing to have life. Amen. Therefore, appreciating every day Amen. For the gift of life. Therefore, I want to give our God glory for the gift of life. Amen. I want also to give God the glory for Reverend Isaac. Really, we are friends, and I feel I'm at home, and I'm okay. Thank you very much, Reverend, to give me this opportunity to stand before the wonderful people of God. And I want also to appreciate you for the great work which you are doing with your wife, with all the ministers. Are almost being tempted to join the choir. You are doing a great, wonderful work. Yeah, if I was to be here for another 2 weeks or a month, I might be part of you. But I'm not sure of my voice, but I could try. I want also to thank God for the man of God. Thank you for the great work you are doing over the other side. You are building the kingdom of God. We are part also, although I'm from Uganda and you are in the other side, but we are doing the same work. We are building the kingdom of our God. God bless you and increase you. My name is Steve Busura from Uganda. I'm married. This is not my first time to be here. And I have few friends. And I'm going to make more friends. And I don't know if the message which I'm going to preach will create some enemies. But it's okay. it's okay. I want also to respect the presence of Pastor Daniel Mutibwa. Through him, I came to know this wonderful man of God. I love him. I trust him. He's my son, and he has done a great job. Amen. Now, I have a book. You can go on the table there, and you buy it. It says, Changing Your Destiny. Nobody can change your destiny except you. Some people, they think that when they visit prophet to prophet, prophet to prophet, then their destiny will be changed. No, that's why it's not changing. It is you. It is you to change your destiny. Your pastor cannot. He just gives you the instructions. Therefore, it's up to you to take it or to leave it there. You understand? It is you to change your destiny. Now, have this book, and I know it will change your life for God's glory. I'm going to be here from today until Friday. I want to request you, don't miss. I'm a bishop because I have churches under me, but by the grace of God, I'm an apostle. Amen. Therefore, this week, I'm going to be here as an apostle under the authority of apostolic anointing. Therefore, don't miss. I know what I'm talking about, and I have seen it. Therefore, you come. Don't miss it. And your life will never be the same. God is going to touch you, and God is going to change you, and God is going to raise you up to another level. You understand? Don't give up on your life. Now, some of you are saying, you know, Pastor, I'm busy. I won't have time. No, you are lying. You can have time. As long as you can spend 2 hours on your cell phone, then serve those 2 hours for the church. If you can call your friend and you talk for 3 hours, let me tell you, save that 3 hours for the church. If you can sleep for 9 hours, please. Today, sleep 4 hours and you come to the church. You understand? I know that you have time. Because some people, when they are here, they say, oh, no, we don't have time. We are busy, 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 busy. They are busy, but we don't see change. Anything which makes you busy and does not take you to another level, that means there's something wrong with you. From January, you are busy until December, but no results. Another year, you just pass years. In the Bible, the same men whom I hate, and I don't want to live their life. When you read the Bible, the same men in the Bible who lived 500 years, 800 years, but what the Bible talks about them, that they had sons and daughters, and they stopped there. 500 years. The only thing which you managed to do, to make babies, and you stop there. 800 years. The Bible just mentioned about your babies, your sons and daughter, and you stop there. I don't want to live that life. And there's other people in the Bible. The Bible did not mention about their children. It mentioned what they did. Now mention Daniel. God recorded what they did. Elijah, what he did. David, what he did. You understand? Non-children. It's not bad to have children. It's not bad to mention about your children. But what have you done? It's very bad to go on your burial. Then we say, you know, Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, he lived 80 years. That's the end of him. Even the children, they are labels. That means you came to create more problems to the nation. Therefore, I want to request you, don't live such a type of life. Have your babies, but have something even you can live, so that we can remember you. Amen. It is very bad, Leveland, it is very bad to die, and people, they forget you within 1 week. You have been on earth for 8 years, 100 years, but within 1 week, you are forgotten. After another 2 months, even your family forgets you. Then you wasted your time. Tell your neighbor, you should not waste your time. Therefore, create your time to be here, and you are not going to regret. Amen. Amen? You are not going to regret. When I was here one day, it was Friday, I came up with a topic which I want to continue with. It says, fighters. The Lord told me that He's raising up fighters. He's raising up warriors. And I'm here to raise up warriors. Amen. Fighters. Non-daquitters. But fighters. not the losers, but fighters, and they win. Therefore, I pray that you be one of them. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this wonderful time. Because you're so good and you have given us an opportunity to be in your house. Father, let your spirit flow in our midst. Touch and speak to somebody and transform someone for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Those who were not here on that Friday, we read some verses which we are going to read again, that God is raising up warriors, fighters. Therefore, you have to make sure that you are part of what God is doing. Amen. He's raising warriors. He's raising fighters. If you are not willing to be a fighter, then I don't know what to do to you. Turn with me in the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 3. I want someone to stand and read. Judges chapter 3, verse 1. I'm building up my foundation, which I'm going to deal up to Friday. Judges chapter 3 from verse 1. Judges chapter 3 from verse 1. Someone read.
Now these are the nations which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them. That is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war.
To do what?
To know war.
To do what?
To know war.
To do what?
To know war.
Who is testing them?
God.
Who is testing them?
God.
Who is testing them?
God.
Why is testing them? No. Please. Why he was testing them? Why he was testing them? And who was testing them?
God.
Why he was testing them? To know wars. That means he was raising up fighters who are supposed to fight. You understand? Go on.
At least those who had not formerly known it.
You can stop there. Can you turn with me in Psalms chapter 18, verse 34? Psalms chapter 18, verse 34.
He teaches my hands to make war.
Who?
God.
Who?
God.
He's teaching who?
Me.
Why is teaching you? For what? To do what?
To be.
To do what?
To fight.
Who is teaching you?
God.
God. What to do what?
To fight.
That means you are supposed to be who?
A fighter.
Come again. You are supposed to be who?
A fighter.
You are supposed to be who?
A fighter.
That's the reason why God is training you to make wars. You understand? Go on.
So that my arms can bend a bow of bronze.
Go on.
You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me. So my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them.
She has done what?
I have pursued my enemies.
Do you have enemies? Do you have enemies? Do you have enemies? What have you done for your enemies?
Pursued them.
Are you sure? Therefore, you are going to see. Are you sure? You cannot pursue them unless you are a fighter. We have some people who have not pursued their enemies because they are not fighter and they are not willing to fight. Now, what they do, they look for other people to fight on their behalf. They are not willing to stand and pursue their enemies. Let me tell you, my enemies are not your enemies. Then I cannot pursue your enemies on your behalf. it is you to pursue your enemies. Now, when you think that you can come and I pursue your enemies on your behalf, who is lying who? Who is lying who? Okay. If you decide to visit each and every prophet within Toronto, do you think that those prophets, they can pursue your enemies? Answer me, please. That's why I said that you, I might make some enemies. Now, do you think that they can pursue enemies? Who is supposed to pursue? Who is, God is training who? Why he is training you? Why? Because you have enemies whom you have to fight. Go on.
Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Before? They do what?
They were destroyed.
Before?
Destroyed.
Who destroyed them? Who destroyed them?
Destroyed.
How many of you whom you have destroyed your enemy? How many of you? Now, the Reverend this declared 21 days of prayer. But the turn up, all of you are not seen here. And you want to destroy your enemy. How are you going to be to destroy your enemy in your comfort zone? How are you going to destroy your enemy when you are not willing to pray and to fast? How are you going to destroy your enemy? And when you don't destroy them, they will do what?
Destroy you.
It's you who have spoken it. Uh-huh. Go on.
Neither did I turn back again
mm-hmm.
till they were destroyed.
Uh-huh.
I have wounded them
uh-huh.
so that they could not rise.
I have wounded them so that they could not rise again. In other words, I have pushed them where they belong and they will never rise again. Go on. Mm-hmm.
They have fallen under my feet.
Uh-huh.
For you have armed me with strength for the battle.
Uh-huh.
You have subdued under me those who rose up against me.
Uh-huh.
You have also given me the necks of my enemies.
You have also given me the necks of my enemies. The necks of my enemy. Let me tell you. If you are fighting with someone, and you are stronger than him. But when he gets a chance of getting your neck, you are finished. Once he gets an opportunity to get into your neck, you have to surrender. Now here, David is saying that you have given me the neck of my enemies. As long as I have the neck of my enemies, then I am supposed to win. Do you have, is your hand in the neck of your enemy? That's why some of you cannot even answer. Does your hand in the neck of your enemy? You cannot have that opportunity unless you are a fighter.
Amen.
Go on. Mm-hmm.
So that I destroyed those who hated me.
Uh-huh.
They cried out,
mm-hmm.
but there was none to save.
None to save them.
Even to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
but he did not answer them.
Even God himself, he did not answer them. You can show there. God, he's raising up fighters. But before we go into that, let me get three brothers here. I need three brothers. Please come over here. Another two? I have called brothers, not sisters. Are you not sure that your brother or... Stand here. Stand here. Stand there. Stand there. Face that side. Now, before we go into that, I want to give you some examples so that you can understand what I'm talking about. Let me say, this is God. And this is you or a church. We want first of all to know the minds of God concerning the church. We want to know what God says about the church. We want to know the promises of God about the church. God says, you are created in my image and in my likeness. You understand? He said, have dominion. Now God is telling the church, or he's telling you, that have dominion. Be in charge. Have authority. Subdue it and everything. He's telling the church to subdue. You understand? He's giving the church all the authority to subdue. He's telling you to subdue. That's the will of God towards the church. He goes on telling the church, you must be the head. You are the head, not the tail. That's the minds of God towards the church. You have to be the head, not the tail. You have to be above, not beneath. God, he's telling the church. He's telling you and me. That's what we are supposed to be. The head, not the tail. To be above, not beneath. He goes on telling the church, you shall be blessed as you go out. You shall be blessed as you come in. He's telling you and me. As you go out, you are blessed. As you come in, you are blessed. He tells the church, you are blessed in the city and you are blessed in the village. That's the church. That's you. That's what God thinks about you. You understand? He said that every land where you will step, I'll give it to you. He tells the church, I am with you until the end of the world. I will never forsake you. That's what he tells the church. I will go before you as a consuming fire. No weapon shall rise against you and prosper. That is the church. No tongue will rise against you in judgment. And you shall condemn it. That is the church. He goes on and on and on, telling us the minds which he has toward the church. You understand? Now he knew. But this guy is a good guy. He knew there is another guy who is called the devil. Now let me just give an example. He is the devil, but not the devil. Now he told the church that there's a guy who is called the devil. I saw him. Therefore, I'm giving you authority over him. You shall cast out devils. He's telling the church, he's telling you. You have authority over him. He says, can you give me keys? He tell the church, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. Not a key, but keys. Now the church is given the keys, given authority to paralyze the devil, given authority to overcome the devil, given keys, and he says, what shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What shall bind or loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now he's giving authority to the church over the devil. Nothing shall harm you. You have power over the devil. Now, after the church, you and me, we know the minds of God. He has given us authority over the devil. Now, I have a question. If this man start to struggle, whom to blame? Not God. Now, why some of you, you're blaming God? I'm asking, why some of you are blaming God? Why are you asking God questions? Why are you complaining? We have seen very clear the plan of God towards us. Now, if this guy starts struggling, not making it, and he turned against God, questioning him questions. If not, he turns against the devil. You know the devil, I know you. I know you, you're a bad person. The devil knows that he's a bad person. The devil, you're not joking. He knows that. The devil, you have brought all these problems to me. You have caused this and this and this and this. But the devil, August, God sees you. Now, should we blame the devil? Answer me. Should we blame the devil? This guy is right to blame the devil. Because God gave him the keys, gave him authority over who? Now he's conversing with him, Mr. Devil. You know, Mr. Devil. Mr. Devil. Some of you are blaming even your stepmom. I am what I am because of my stepmom. I am what I am because of my stepmom. I am what I am because my aunt cast me. I am what I am because of this and this and this. I'm asking you, what you are doing, is it right? Okay. You have claimed that for 5 years. Have you seen any change? Have you seen any change? You know, I'm suffering because of 100 curses. Okay. 100 curses. What have you done about those 100 curses? Do you think that just complaining and speak about that, it will change? You know, I cannot make it because I'm not educated. Okay. Your parents didn't take you to school. No. Then what can you do? Why do you change that into a song? You sing it every year. You sing it every month. You sing it every hour. Why are you changing it into a song? First of all, even your parents, they are dead. They will never come back to take you back to school. Now you are singing that song every time, every hour, every hour, every hour. Don't you know what you're supposed to do? Now, instead of using the keys, you put them in the pocket. You have all the keys. You have all the power. You have all authority. But you are talking about the people who are dead. And you are blaming them because they didn't take you to school. You are blaming the same man who is dead. Even if he's not dead, he's in Ghana. You're in Canada. He does not know even what is going on in Canada. He does not even have a vision of coming to Canada. You are in Canada. You are talking on somebody who witched you 1,000 years ago. Moreover, you have the keys in your pocket. Put these keys in your pocket, please. You don't have pocket. You have the keys which can stop each and everything. Now, instead of using the keys, you are talking about the problem. Now, I have a question. Should we blame the devil? Should we blame God? Huh? We blame who? We blame who? Do you think that God is a liar? He is not a liar. He keeps his word. He knows that you can win. But the problem is, You don't want to fight. That's the problem. You don't want to fight. You don't want to pay the price. Anything, if you achieve anything, there's a price which you have to pay. This guy, the devil, he will not just let you get what belongs to you. Remember, the children of Israel, they were given land, but they had to fight for it. It was given to them by God, but they had to fight for it. Now, the devil will not just give it to you like that. You have to pay price. You have to fight. But most of people today in the church, in the body of Christ, we don't want to pay the price we have. We want to dodge our prices. We don't want to fight. We want somebody to come and fight on our behalf. Now, when we don't make it, then we blame the devil, we blame our parents, we blame our color, we blame where we came from, and we blame even God. And we forget that God is not the cause, it is you. You have the keys, but you don't use them. Jesus said, if you bind anything on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. Instead of binding, you are complaining. Instead of binding, you ask God questions. Instead of binding, you say, I don't know what to do. You have the keys. Yeah, I'm losing my marriage. You know, the devil. Now the devil has attacked my marriage. Okay, you talk about it. You lose it. Not because God wants you to lose it. You have the keys to stop it. Now I'm going to lose my job. You know, I'm losing my job. God has nothing to do with that. You have the keys to stop it. I don't know. Anytime I'm going to die, who told you? I'm dying. You die on Monday. You die on Tuesday. All the time you are dying. Every time you are dying. You started dying in 2010. Up to now, you are still dying. You have not built even any house. You are talking about dying. My Bible tells me that I shall build houses. Now, if you have not built one, you are living in the house of somebody and you are dying. He says that I'll build my house and I live in it. Are you living into your house? If you are not, there's no death until you buy your own house, you build your own house and start living it. Now, it is you who don't know what you should do. Let me give a testimony. Stand there. In 2007, I was given an invitation to come in the States. Then I went to the embassy. Now, as I was waiting for our time to get into the embassy, then a certain guy came and sat near me. When he sat near me, then we start talking. Then he asked me, have you come to pick your passport or you came to request for the visa? I told him that I came to request for the visa. He told me, what is your papers? What is your documents? Then I pulled out my invitation and a bank statement. Then he told me, they are not going to give you a visa. You don't have enough papers. Then he pulled out this size of papers. He told me, if you don't have this type of paper, you're not getting a visa. And you're going to waste your money. Therefore, I'm here to help you. Don't put in your papers and your money. Here's my number. In the evening, call me. I'll help you to put up the papers. And I'm not going to charge you anything. I pick it as a good idea. Then I put down the number. Then I shook his hand. Thank you very much. Okay. I stood up to go. When I stood up, at that moment, I felt a presence of somebody standing beside me. He asked me, "You came to do what here?" Then I answered, "To get a visa." "Have you got it?" I answered, "No." "Where are you going?" I sat down. Then the guy went on convincing me. I stood up the second time. The same person came back. "You come to do what here?" "To get a visa." "Have you got it?" "No." "Where are you going?" I sat down again. Then we talked. The guy told me, "You know, this is God. You didn't know that you'll meet me. It's God. That's how God could connect people. Please, don't waste your money." I stood up the third time. "Where are you going? You came to do what? Pick a visa. Have you got it?" "No." "Where are you going?" Now, the third time, the guy was serious. Then I sat down. Then we passed through the checking. After our checking, then I sat somewhere. The guy came again, telling me the same thing, that you have opportunity. You can, don't give in your papers. They're not going to give you the visa. You see all the people, they have big files, then what are you going to do? But because that voice was ringing in my mind, then we entered. I gave in my submitted my passport, money, and everything. They gave me a number. I went, I sat somewhere. I was the first person. Then also, he followed me. Now, after he's given his number, he came and sat near me and told me, "You know, you have wasted your money." Then he told me, "Now, you see those two doors? If they call your number, then you enter one in one of them. But when you see someone coming out with his passport, that means he's not given a visa. But when you see someone coming out without a passport, that means he's given a visa." Now, what amazed me, that I was the first to give in my papers, but they called him first. He entered. He spent there 45 minutes because he had a lot to explain. Now, afterwards, he came out in the room with his passport. Now, he had forgotten that he told me that when you see somebody coming out with a... Now, when he saw me, he tried to hide it when I've already seen it. Then something came in my mind, if they have not given him, what of you? But I had nothing to do. After 10 minutes, I entered. I found a lady. She was busy on her computer. "Steve, how are you? You traveled in UK. You went to do what there? Can I see your invitation? I gave her the invitation. Then she told me, "Tomorrow at 2, come and pick your passport." Then I asked, "What?" "Tomorrow at 2, come and pick your passport." "Please, can you come again?" She told me, "I said tomorrow, come and pick your passport at 2. Then I walked out. This guy was waiting me at the door. He asked me, "What is your passport?" Then I told him, "They told me that I pick my passport tomorrow." Then he told me, "They have given the visa." Then I asked him, "What about you?" He told me, "They have not." Then he told me that this is the 9th time when I'm requesting for the visa, and they don't give me. Then inside me, I said, "Wow, the guy who wanted to, this is the 9th visa time." Now, that's how I started traveling the U.S. since then up to now. I have something which I want to put in your mind. Some of you, can you remember how you got your visa to this nation? Can you remember how many people who were not given a visa and you passed in? Was it your wisdom? Was it because you knew how to talk? Huh? Why in all people, why you? Can you ask your neighbor, why you? Ask your neighbor, why you? Why are the people they didn't get? Why you got it? Okay. You mean God brought you here to suffer here? He brought you here to die here? So they can increase all the problems on you? Huh? That's what you think? Now, why are you not penetrating? Why are you not making it? If you believe that God is the one who gave you that visa to come in this country, why are you not making it? You want to tell me that God forgot you? You want to tell him that God does not know that you are in this country? You want to tell him that you came by mistake? You want to tell him that God didn't know that you are coming? You want to tell me that when you entered here, God put, he set a fire on your fire? You want to tell me the devil wanted you to come? You want to tell him that he didn't fight? He fought the devil that should not come. It was God who permitted you to be here. He did not bring you here to die here, to suffer here, to increase more problems to you. No, he brought you for a purpose. But you forgot God, what he did on the day for you to get a visa, you have forgotten that. You are complaining instead of rising up and you fight to possess what God has for you. Reverend, when on Wednesday I went to the U.S., then on Thursday, when I was praying for the service, God gave me a word which I want to give it to you. And he told me to tell it, to speak it to you before the people. That's why we did not discuss about it in the office. God told me to tell you that he is calling you for nations. Then we repeat it. He told me to tell you that he's calling you for nations. That's number one. Number two, he's calling you to raise up a generation for nations. He's building out of you a generation which is going to touch nations. He's calling you for the nations. He's building up a generation out of you which is going to touch the nations. And this is what he told me to tell you. Start breaking the boundaries. Start seeing yourself touching nations. He's calling you for nations, not for Ghanaians. Then we repeat it. Not just for Ghanaians, but nations. He's not building up a generation to touch Ghanaians, but to touch nations. Now, start breaking that boundaries and you go beyond Ghanaians. And you go beyond and start seeing nations, but not just Ghanaians. This is what the Lord told me. I know some of you, you might not agree with it, but that's what God wants you to do. Some of people, they might oppose you, but that's what God wants you to do. This church is going to be a training center to train a generation which is going to touch nations. Let me give you an example. If you train this guy and he just see Ghanaian, that means when you go and somewhere, he will target what? But God called him for nations. Now he's seeing Ghanaians. But if you train him to see nations, when he start a work somewhere, he will not see just Ghanaians, but he will see nations. Now, Reverend, help us. build up a generation which is seeing nations. That's what God is calling you to do. To rise up a generation which is seeing nations, which is going to touch all different colors of people, which is going to touch different nations. That's the generation which God is calling you to do. I know it's not going to be easy for you. But as long as God is on your side, you are going to make it. I know they will speak all different kinds of words. But as long as God is on your side, you are going to make it. You are going to raise up that generation. Always keep yourself in prayer. And be sensitive to God. And do exactly what He tells you to do. No matter what people they think about it, as long as it's from God, you will make it. That's what the Lord told me to tell you. Before these people, your pastor, God has called him for nations. And he's building a bad generation for nations. Now what you have to do is to be part of it. If you decide not to be part of it, then don't fight it. Because once you start fighting it, you are fighting God himself. And you cannot overcome. First of all, even you have failed to overcome the devil. Now you are joining God to be part of what you are going, who is going to fight you. Now if you fail to overcome the devil, then you cannot overcome God. You better surrender and move with him. That's what the Lord told me to tell you. Now, church, it is high time to stand on our feet and we start fighting. God is raising up a generation of fighters. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 up to 12. Let's read there. Revelation chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7. Can you read?
Mm-hmm. And there was war in heaven.
Where?
Heaven.
Where?
Heaven.
God dwells where? God dwells where?
Heaven.
The war was where?
In heaven.
Yeah. I think there's a mistake in your Bible. War in heaven. The dwelling place of God. War in heaven. Fighting with who? Go on.
Michael and his angels fought against the dragon.
Uh-huh.
And the dragon fought his angels.
Uh-huh.
And prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven.
You hear? The war began where?
In heaven.
And the one who caused war, he was kicked where?
Out of heaven.
Where?
Out of heaven.
He's where? He caused the war where? Do you know who is dwelling in heaven? Do you know who is in charge of heaven?
Yes.
Who is that?
God.
And the war began where? The one who caused the war began it where? And he is where? Uh-huh. Go on.
And the great dragon was cast out.
Mm-hmm.
That old serpent called the devil.
That devil called the devil. He was cast where?
Out of heaven.
Uh-huh.
And Satan,
mm-hmm.
Which deceived the whole world.
Who deceived the whole world? Uh-huh.
He was cast out into the earth.
Into where? To heaven.
Earth.
Into heaven? Where?
Earth.
Where?
Earth.
And you are living where?
On earth.
If he managed to wage war in heaven, war over here. If he wanted to overtake God himself, what do you think here? You are living on earth. He is on earth. He did that in heaven. Even he managed to take one third of the angels from heaven. Go on. Uh-huh.
And his angels were cast out.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, go back.
And
his angels were cast out with him.
Mm-hmm. Go on. Verse 10.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night.
Gone?
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death.
Verse 12. Therefore
rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them.
Here, wait a minute. Therefore rejoice who? Heavens. Yeah. And those who dwell in them. Why in heaven they are rejoicing? There's no more war.
That's right.
That's why they are rejoicing.
Yeah.
Let's go on.
Woe to the inhabitants of the earth.
Do you understand what you're reading? Please don't confuse us. Can you read it again?
Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because you know that he hath.
He comes down to who? The angels are saying what? Woe unto us.
Yeah.
In heaven they are rejoicing. Here, woe unto us. In heaven they are rejoicing because he was kicked out. On earth, woe unto people in because he has come unto you. Now that's one of the reasons why God needs fighters to fight him. Because in heaven took angels to fight him and kick him out. Now even here on earth, God has to raise up a generation. She has to raise up a warriors. She has to raise up a fighters. She has to build up a generation which can fight him and push him where he belongs. Now when you are not ready to fight, let me tell you, always he causes woe. Because he started that in heaven. There's no peace in him. He's a destroyer. There's no life in him. He cannot give you a life. He cannot give you a marriage life. He cannot give you a job life. He cannot give you a future life. That is not part of him. What you have to do is to rise up and you fight him. If he began the war in heaven, even in Canada, he's doing it. Even in Africa, he's doing it. Everywhere, he's doing it. But the good news is, God gave us authority and power over him. He can fight, but he cannot win. Jesus said, I'll build my church.
Yes.
Even the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Yes.
He did not say that the gates of hell shall not arise. That means the devil can attack, but he cannot prevail. He says, no weapon shall rise against you. He did not say that weapon will not arise. It will rise, but not prosper. They have to test. But are you in the position of fighting? Are you in the position of giving and paying the price? Are you willing to step in and say, devil, here I am. And you don't choose anybody. You don't blame anyone and tell the devil, I have to win. I was born to win. I will win you. I will fight you and I overcome you. I have to achieve my goals. I have to possess what I'm supposed to possess. Some of you, you have friends who are not fighters. That's why you are not fighter. You have friends who are complainer. Today you better divorce those friends of yours. You have losers. You are surrounded with losers. Because they choose to be a loser. And those are people whom you have. You don't have people who are encouraging you to fight and tell the devil, no. I'm not going anywhere. All authority, God gave it to the church. We have all the keys. Bring that keys. Don't go with it. he did not say key, but keys. More than one. Whereby that you can use it to open anything which you think that you need to open it, to lose it. Now, some of you, you don't know that you have them. Some of you are too lazy. Or you know that you have them, but you are lazy, you don't use them. Some of you, you put it in wrong padlock. You are not using it in the right way. Now, you better use your keys in the right way. Don't stop complaining. Stop judging yourself. Stop blaming others. Stop looking for somebody to stand on your behalf. Stand in for yourself. Stand in for yourself. Fight for yourself. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your job. Fight for your community. Fight for your church. Instead of running from this church to the other church because of problems, every church it has its own problem. Because we have the same devil. The same devil in Africa is the same devil in Canada. He's the same devil in the US. He's the same devil everywhere. He causes problems everywhere. We should not run away. We have to face him and we fight him. We were born to overcome and to win. We are winners, but you cannot win without war. You cannot become conquerors unless you conquer something. You can go back and say thank you. Hey. There is. Oh. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let me just give you one key which we use in our fighting. That is prayer. That is prayer. When you are prayerless, you become powerless. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. A prayerless choir, it is powerless. A prayerless family, it is powerless. A prayerless church, it is weak church. Let me be there. Maybe you don't want to hear that. A prayerless church, it's powerless. A prayerless Christian, it's powerless. A prayerless family, it's powerless. Now, if you want to become the real fighter, you need to build up the life of prayer. And you start living the life of prayer. The devil knows that once you are prayerful, he's going to lose the battle. Once the family is prayerful, the devil is losing it. Once the minister of the church is prayerful, the devil is losing it. Once a minister or a pastor is prayerful, the devil is losing it. Prayer is one of the powerful weapon which was given to the church. It is so powerful, the government cannot change someone, but the prayer changes someone. The only thing which the government can do is to build up prisons and put you there. You go there. When you're not international breaking houses, you come out when you're international. Prison cannot change you. But prayer can change your husband. Prayer can change your wife. Prayer can change your children. Prayer can change your church. Prayer can change your future. Prayer can change your community. You can be here and you pray for somebody in Africa. And by the power of prayer, that person is changed. You can be here and pray for someone who is in the States. And that person, God can heal him because of prayer. That is how prayer is so powerful. If you want to possess what God has given you, if you want to walk in the purpose while you are in Canada, be prayerful. Read the Bible. All the men who did great things, they were prayerful. Who did not make it, they were prayerless. Talk about Moses. He was prayerful. Talk about Joshua. He was prayerful. Elijah, he was prayerful. David, he was prayerful. Talk about King Saul. He was prayerless. He ended up in slain. You can read his life. I have studied his life. I have never seen him anywhere kneeling down to call upon God. At the end of the day, he went and looked for a witch. Prayerless. Talk about Samson. He did not pray. That's how he ended up. How is your life? How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? You leaders, the pastor declares a days of fasting and prayer, and you're not seen. You tell the pastor, I'm so busy. You wonderful choir, they declare days of fasting and prayer. You are eating. You call pastor, pastor, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to be seen. I'm not going to be able to be seen. I'm busy. I'm caught up somewhere. I have a doctor appointment. Okay, it's good to have the doctor appointment. But let me tell you, even the doctor has a remit. You know, they need me in the office. They need me in the office. Sometime when you're lying. And you want to do great things. You want to become millionaires. You want to reach somewhere. You cannot reach somewhere. You cannot go to another level except when you're prayerful. Prayer is one of the key which can transform your life totally. Prayer is one of the key which can change your community. Prayer is one of the key which can touch the leaders. Prayer is one of the key for you to overcome the devil. And even the devil knows that. He can allow you to watch movies for 4 hours. He say, watch your movie, but I'm on your neck. No dozing when you're watching movie. 4 hours, you pull even your chair. You come closer to the TV. He said, mister, go watch it. There's no problem. Watch it. But when you come for prayer, I'm so tired. And tomorrow I have a long day. But when you're watching a movie, you don't remember tomorrow you have a long day. Then you start asking God, God, why me? Why me? Why me? Why not to you? 4 hours. In the morning, before you communicate to heaven, you communicate with this guy. When you jump up in your bedroom, you pick it. How many calls? How many messages? Oh, Jen called me. You start texting. You take another 1 hour. On this guy. The devil says, add another hour. Even the third one. It's okay. When you come back home, before you enter into your bed, you're on this guy. I have made it well home. Today I had a bad day. You are telling who about a bad day? Because even the one whom you are telling about a bad day, also he had his bad day. Today I had a bad day. Also, the one whom you are telling, also he had a bad day. He does not want even to know. And even if he does not, you tell him he will do nothing about your bad day. Instead of communicating to the one who can deal with your bad day, tomorrow you get a good day, you are telling a wrong person about your bad day. In the morning, I didn't sleep well. I didn't sleep well. You are communicating with other people. Instead of communicating to the one who can change everything, and you are talking to the wrong people who cannot change even your... You know, my things are not working on well in my job. In a time I might lose my job. You are telling wrong people. There's one guy who is able to settle each and everything. That is God. Instead of communicating to him, you are communicating to the wrong people. It is high time the church to go back on our knees and start calling upon our God, and our God will change our situation. It's high time to build up our prayer life so that we can attack the devil and we possess what God has for us. Prayer. Not complaining. We can touch anybody through prayer. We can touch nations through prayer. We can touch communities through prayer. We can change our future through prayer. We can overcome the devil through prayer. The devil knows that. How is your prayer life? I want to challenge the ministers of this church. How is your prayer life? Some of you want to take decisions when you're prayerless. Don't blame him who brought me here. Some of you, you want to take decisions when you're prayerless. Because in this church, I'm so and so. Okay? Good, we respect you. But are you communicating? Are you connected with the heaven? Because the issue which you are taking decision, it's not physical. It is spiritual. Are you communicated, connected with the one who is in charge over the church? Are you connected? Are you going to give us the real counsel which we need for us to go ahead? Are you connected? Or you are giving counsel because of the position. Separate the position and being connected to the one who called you, to the one who positioned you, to the one who has given the job to do. Are you connected? Do you have that connection? You men, I'm the head of the family. Okay, thank you. Are you connected? Or you want to prove to everybody that I'm a man of the head. You know, I'm the man of the head. That's why you're losing your marriage. Are you connected? Let me tell you, that wife is not an animal. You cannot just handle her like that. There's somebody who created her. Are you connected? Does your children know that our dad, every morning before he gets out of the bedroom, he prays? Or they know you that out of the bedroom, in the fridge to get something to eat. Does your wife know that you from 6 to 7, my husband, his friends are an hour in prayer? Does your wife tell the children, keep quiet, your dad is in prayer? Does your wife know that? He can tell that the kids keep quiet because prayer. Your dad is in prayer. Does your wife tell your kids, please, keep quiet, your dad is studying the word? Because he knows. The only thing which he does, to prepare food for you. Breakfast. Then he comes and says, your breakfast is ready. You just jump into the go, you're on the sitting table, you eat, you grab everything as if you're the one who created it. They know that even in your home, there's no life of prayer. That your children knows that. Your wife knows that. Why are you laughing at me? Can we move on? We need to rise up. Your wife, does your husband know that this hour you're in prayer? That when he's getting out of the bedroom, he makes sure that he does not want to disturb you because you are in prayer. Oh, he knows that when you wake up, he has started. She has started. From morning to evening. That's the only thing which he knows about you. Even the kids, our mom is awake. You don't hear the voice. Our mom is awake. Is that what they know about you? Change that. Let your children know that this is the hour for my mom, our mom, for prayer. This is the hour for our dad. Let your children know that this week, our dad is in fasting. Amen. They'll tell even their fellow kids, every month our daddy has a week for fasting. Every month they'll tell our mom he has a week for fasting. Let them know. Now when you tell them to fast, it's going to be easier for them because they are seeing you doing it. That's right. If you tell them to pray, they are going to do it because it is easier because they are seeing it. But they have never seen you. Hello? Hi. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah. If anything goes wrong, you feel you don't like me, he's him. You better knock at his office. And tomorrow I'm back here. And don't dodge me. Be here so that we can rise up and we change this country. We are more than able. Remember, the Bible says that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn away from their evil ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin. What is next? I heal their land. Do you want your community to be healed? Prayer. Do you want your nation to be healed? Prayer. Do you want Ghana also to change? Prayer. If my people who are called by my name, you are called the name of the Lord. If you can humble yourself, let me tell you, prayerlessness is a sign of pride. Anybody who is not prayerful, anybody who does not want to pray, you have pride. You are talking about pride. You are blaming other people for having pride. You are the number one. You are telling God, I can handle my life. I don't need you.
That's right.
I can handle my family without you. I can handle my ministry without you. I can handle my future without you. That's why you're not praying. But anybody who knows that he cannot not handle his life, he goes to pray, to tell God, God, without you, I cannot make it. God, without you, I cannot serve God. I cannot make it in the ministry. God, without you, I need your help. I need you to be on my side. That's the sign of humbleness. Now, when you're talking about pride, ask your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. Ask her, are you so proud that even you cannot pray? Now, let's do one thing. I'll come back tomorrow. Let's do one thing. Stand up, all of you. Stand up, all of you. Stand up, all of you. Do you have a neighbor? You have a neighbor? Get the hand of your neighbor. Some of you can come over here. You give yourself space. I'm going to tell you something to do. Please, you can have... Get a space for yourself. I need a neighbor, no neighbors. Neighbor. Get the hand. Hold his hand like this. Hold your hands like this. A neighbor. No neighbors. Don't go. Hold the one. You choirs, please. Extend some of you come over this side. That's what we are going to do every day from tomorrow up to Friday. Come out of there. Have enough space, please. My time is gone. Get a hand of your neighbor. Look at the face of your neighbor. Do you know his names? If you don't know the names, ask your neighbor the names. Make sure that you know his names. Don't squeeze yourself. You can't. Don't squeeze yourself. Look at your neighbor. Do you know your neighbor? Do you know the names of your neighbor? What we are going to do, I don't want you to tell God, you know, this is my sister. No, I want you to approach God When you know the names, sister, can you be serious and get someone who is going to help you? It's okay with your kid, but at least get someone who's going to do what I want you to do. Get somebody. Now, this is what we are going to do. We have talked about prayer. You are going to pray for your sister. You understand? You are going to pray for that person. You are going to approach God and mention the name of that person. You understand? Don't pray for yourself. Some of you are so selfish that you pray for your life, your family, your husband, and the kids, and your job, and that's the end. Today, don't pray for yourself. You are praying for that sister. You are praying for that brother. You know, you are praying on the behalf of your brother. You understand? Now, this is what you are going to pray for him or her. Pray God to stir up his life of prayer. Let God set a fire of prayer within his life. Let God raise the spirit of prayer, the spirit of warrior within his life. Tell God that he should not allow him to settle, her to settle without prayer. Tell God that you should not allow him to enter into his bed without prayer. You understand? Then you break each and everything which has been stopping him or her to pray. Once we do that, then I'll give the microphone back. Okay, start. I want to hear your voices. 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 Pray for that person seriously. Seriously, 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 seriously. Seriously, 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 in Jesus' name. Seriously, in the name of Jesus. Let God stir up his prayer life. Let God raise the spirit of prayer in his life. Let God raise the spirit of prayer. The spirit of warrior. Let him rise up in prayer. Let her rise up in prayer. Let God lift her in prayer. God, I want to hear your voices. It's the hour. Pray for that person seriously. Pray for that person seriously. Let God do that. Let God do that in Jesus' name. Let God do that. Let God raise the fire of prayer. Let God raise the spirit of warrior. Let God raise the spirit of warrior in his life. Let him become prayerful. Let her become prayerful. Let her become prayerful. To pray for her marriage. To pray for her future. Go on, pray. Father in heaven, let your spirit, the spirit of prayer, the spirit of intercession, the spirit of warriors, rest upon your people. Lord, release the spirit of prayer. Release the spirit of prayer in Jesus' name upon them. Revive their prayer life right now, Lord. Revive their prayer life right now, Lord. I pray that let your spirit move right now in Jesus' name. Let your spirit move right now in the name of Jesus. Let your spirit move right now in Jesus' name. Let them pray than never before. Let them call upon you than never before. Let them live the life of prayer than never before. Father, stir up their life of prayer. 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 Let them become warriors. Let them become warriors. Let them become warriors in Jesus' name. Let them become warriors. Let them become warriors.
Yes, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Oh God. Masuta kabisita lakrosatin. Lift up your hands. Leave your neighbor's hand. Lift up your hands above to heaven. And just thank God for today. Thank God for this last week of our Possibility Summit. Thank God for his word. Thank God for what he's going to do, for what he has begun doing already with us and through us. Lift up your hands as a sign of surrender to God. In the name of Jesus, lift up your hands as a sign of surrender. Wave it to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, wave it to the Lord. Kabroski takabris kandori biyashutaya. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory, Lord.
Thank you for your time. We pray that this message will continue to be a blessing in your life. Please visit us at livingwordag.org or whenever you are in the Greater Toronto Area, Ontario, Canada. This podcast is made possible through your generous donations. God bless you and keep you. Join us again soon.